Hallelujah. Well, God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark 9:23. So excited about this series and what we've learned, what we've talked about, where we're headed, where we're going. Praise God. Mark 9 and verse 23, of course, today. And I'm going to pray here in a second. This is Faith Part 7. And I do encourage you to go back on the live stream to feed on these messages. You know, faith is not an optional thing. Well, I'll say it this way. Faith's optional if you don't want to receive from God. The Bible says in Hebrews 6 and verse 12 that we receive the promises of God through faith and patience. And so we better learn how to be skillful with the force of faith. This religious idea that we'll just be blessed if God decides to do it is just that. It's a religious idea. And it's actually an idea that's motivated and inspired by the devil, because if you believe that, if you believe that God's just going to do what God's going to do, then you won't do anything. And you won't do the right thing. And the Bible says faith without works. There's works that we need to do to receive from him. And so we encourage you to learn what faith is. It pleases God. This is what this series is all about. So let's pray before we get into this morning and ask him for help that we need. Father, we're just so grateful to gather around your word. What an honor this time is. Father, it's a joy. It's a privilege. We don't take it lightly. It's the highlight of our week. Father, this is where we hear from heaven concerning our lives and what to do. Father, you have victory for us, and it always comes through the Word of God. So we welcome the Word this morning. We're hungry for the Word. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. May you fill my mouth with words and utterance from heaven. Father, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God this morning, Father, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. And Father, I thank you, lives will be changed this morning. Destinies will be overturned. And Father, we'll make sure that you get the praise. We'll make sure that you get the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in part seven, we don't have time to do review because we're in part seven. It would take us all service. But Jesus said this unto them, if you can believe. See what he's saying? He's talking about you. He's talking about you. I'm telling you right now, I don't know why I'm hammering on this, but there's somebody in here that it needs to be uprooted in your mind, the wrong thinking that you have about God and how he does things. Yeah. The thinking that's been ingrained in you, and it's a stronghold really, is that, you know, I don't really play a part, that it's not really anything that I can do to change my situation and circumstance. Whatever life has dealt me, if God's not changing it, if I'm sick, then that must be what God's okay with. If I'm broke, that must be what God's okay with. If there's trouble here and there, it must be what God's okay with. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you can believe. Well, that has nothing to do with him. That has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with your spouse. It has nothing to do with your neighbor. It has nothing to do with your boss. It has everything to do with you. Jesus said, if you can believe. So he's saying, it's up to you. He's saying, if you can have faith. Then he goes on to say, all things are possible. Well, what's the key to opening the door to all things being possible? If you can believe. All the things that you need are behind the door, all things possible. And the key is, if you can believe it. He said, if you can believe all things that are if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Say, everything that you're facing can be turned around. Not based on me, because he already is able and willing. Nothing's too hard for him. He spoke the moon and the sun into existence. You think the sickness in your body is a troublesome thing for him? You think the problem in your finances, the thing with your kids, the problem at your job and your business is something that's stressing him out? No, but what is stressing him out is your doubt and unbelief. Because he's like a parent that wants to do things for their children, but the kid's got to follow what dad is saying. And he said, I need you to have faith. I need you to have faith. Praise God. But notice the power in faith. He said, and he, how many of you know, he didn't just come up with things to say to fill time or to be long-winded or... Look at the power faith can hold. He said, all things, that's every single thing you're facing now and in the future. He said, all things are possible. Think of the power that is locked in faith with all things. Yeah. Think about that. There's no sickness that doesn't fall under the category of all things. There's no sickness. There's no financial report that doesn't fall under the category of all things. There's no mountain standing in your life, in your way, in circumstances and situations that do not fall under the category of all things. Faith can take care of all things. It is so powerful, praise God. Faith can give power to the poverty situation. Faith can bring power, praise God, to the sick situation, the family situation, children and things, different things that are going haywire in your life. Faith can do that. That's why I'm so excited about faith. Because it can change your life, and that's what I want. Praise God. Now go with me to Galatians 5 and verse 6. Faith can power your finances. Hallelujah. It can power your finances. How do I know? Well, I went 2 years, started this church in September of 2010, went the next 2 years without a salary, quit my full-time job to pastor the church and stay home with my son, who was just born, no salary, and the amount of money that I needed every month that we didn't have, Courtney kept working, but the amount of money we needed was $2,000 short. Every single month, we were $2,000 short. We never told family members. We never told the church. Never mentioned a word about it. And in 2 years, I never missed a payment. Never was late once. In fact, in 2 years, being $2,000 short with no salary, I paid off $60,000 worth of debt. Say, how did that? Was that possible? Faith powered it. Faith powered it. Absolutely. I came off not too long ago. It was last year. I was healed of an incurable, chronic, super painful condition that caused me to not be able to sleep for 2 years straight. And this is not an exaggeration to try to make it seem like, you know, wild and crazy. I didn't sleep for more than 2 hours straight in 2 years. And here I am, a faith preacher. Didn't miss services, continued to do weddings, continued to do funerals, continued to do things outside counseling. Couldn't eat right. Went on a 16-day fast because food made my life miserable. But yet I get hungry a lot, you know, and so that was tough for me. Went on a 7-8-day fast, went on several 3-4-day fasts just to try to figure things out. Had all sorts of fancy tests and expensive tests done on me, and there was nothing the doctors say could help me. No medicine, no cure, no anything at all. Ran every test on me, but faith powered healing to my body, and I stand before you free today. Hallelujah. Faith can power these things. Many of you have testimonies that you put your faith on something and things changed for you. And in Galatians 5 and verse 6, talking about faith powering things, it says, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith," there it is. He says, because what was he pointing out in the Old Testament? The Old Testament was everything was based on works of the flesh. In the flesh, you know, circumcision, uncircumcision, whether or not you're in his group, you know, as being a Jew there. He said, now with Jesus, that don't matter. He says, but there is one thing that matters now in the age that we're living in, faith. But faith. That's why we talk about it. But faith. He could have said anything else, but he said the one thing that now is worthy is faith. But notice what it says in the rest of that verse. Faith which worketh. So how many of you know you need your faith to be working? Amen. You know you have faith, right? The Bible says that you have been given a measure of faith from Him. You have faith, but your faith might not be working. He says, faith worketh by love. Now, Jenny, would you pull that up in the Amplified Bible? It brings that verse out to us and makes us see it so much clearer. Thank you. It says, for we... in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything. Doesn't matter anymore. But only faith. Do you see that there? Yes. Hallelujah. People say, why do you preach on faith so much? Because he said it's the only thing that counts for anything. Right. But notice this. He says your faith has to be activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. Or it says in the King James, faith works by love. You can go back to the King James. But notice that there. Your faith has to be powered by something. Yeah. We know that faith can bring power to things, but the very faith itself has to be powered. That's right. You know, I think about a home generator. And home generators are blessings, aren't they? I mean, when the power goes out, And everybody's sitting in the dark, you're not. When people's air conditioning go out, you don't have to, you know. Things don't work. And a generator can do what? A generator can send power to different things in your life that would bring you blessing. Right? Hallelujah. I know, ladies, when you get ready, you like having lights to look at. And I remember when the power went out in my in-laws' house a couple years ago for an extended amount of time, and it was really dark in there. My mother-in-law looked different. I didn't say bad. You assumed I meant bad. I just said she looked different. Well, when you don't have your curling iron, and you don't have your straightener, and you don't have your hair dryer, I guess you look different. And she looked different. And so you like these things, and it power. So I guess my father-in-law, he must have thought she looked really different, because he went out and bought a generator and said, enough of this. I'm not sure if that's why he bought the generator, but I'm just telling you, those two things were there. And thank God, I know for a fact they're not watching right now. I know it. I would not be this brave. But it powers what? It can power your television. It can power your refrigerator. It can power your air conditioning. It brings power to things that are blessings. But generators don't run on their own. Generators must be fueled in order for them to operate. Amen? Whether it's a standalone generator that you fill it up with gas, or it's one that's hooked to propane, or one that's hooked right into your National Fuel or whatever kind of heating system you have and it's hooked right into it, that generator, for it to kick on, has to have a fuel source running to it. Here you can have a generator, and if it's empty or not connected to your fuel line or a propane tank or however you're doing it, you can have a generator that has the ability to bring the power that you need. And didn't the Bible say in Mark 9 that faith has the power to bring the blessing and change to all things? There's generators that you can get that won't leave you without any power. You can power every single thing: your swimming pool, your air conditioning, your TV, your bathroom, the lights, the refrigerator. Everything has the ability. But if it's sitting there on its own with no fuel in it, or not connected to a fuel source, it doesn't matter what that thing can do. And the Bible says that your faith, it can bring power to every single thing that you need. How awesome is faith? But the Bible also tells us that your faith works only by one source of fuel, and that's the fuel of love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, this is one of those, you might as well just lace up your steel-toe boots right now. This is one of those talking about love services that step on your toes, but hey, it's the fuel that you need. It's the fuel that you need. It's the only thing that will fuel your faith. In fact, your faith will sit there empty and not powerless, having the ability to do some things, just like the generator, until you hook a fuel source up to it. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Praise God. You can't expect your faith to work if you don't have love. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to show you what the Apostle Paul said about this.
1 Corinthians 13:1-3
about being on the Chautauqua County World Series team, and 2 years in a row, 95 and 97, and how they would bring in, they brought in a guy that made it almost to the major leagues and, you know, exceeded any place we ever got, anybody on my team got in baseball, but they brought him in. And what was interesting about when they brought this guy in, you know, our we had several coaches, so I'll just say one of the coaches, so in case they're watching, but one of the coaches, you know, didn't play, wasn't very good, you know, it was really, he didn't have a lot of power behind what he was saying to us. But when this guy came in, who made it so far, played high-level college baseball, played high-level professional baseball, when he spoke, his words had weight to them, right? Because you do this, he knows what he's talking about. Well, the Apostle Paul is the Michael Jordan of the Bible. The Apostle Paul is the Tiger Woods of the Bible. I mean, he is the Tom Brady of the Bible. What do I mean by that? He, out of all the Christians that were used, that God did anything through, the Apostle Paul stands alone in a category by himself. He absolutely stands alone in a category by himself. He was used to write two-thirds, a half to two-thirds of the New Testament that we live off now. He was brought before kings, started so many churches, was responsible for so much, so faithful, had miracles, signs and wonders his ministry. He studied his ministry. So many miracles and testimonies and great power followed him. So when he opens his mouth to speak on a topic, spiritual topic concerning our lives, we ought to take note, we can listen to this. This has weight. If this person is saying, that's why I always say when it comes to the subject of tongues, because people come into church and they hear about speaking in tongues, and a lot of people initially just freaks them out because you've maybe been taught wrong or you've been exposed to it in an unorderly fashion. But we know that the word is our safety net. And Paul said this about speaking in tongues. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you. So here we go again. The greatest Christian who ever lived is saying, so that should calm people's fears on the subject of tongues. If the greatest Christian ever saying, I'm glad about this, I do this a lot, then we should say, okay, we can listen to this. Well, it's the same thing. If he opens his mouth and speaks on the topic of love, we ought to perk up and listen, because if love is the fuel to faith, and this man had many faith accomplishments, this man had many great faith victories, we know he couldn't have had those victories if love didn't reign supreme in his life. Amen? And so he says here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. That's authority right there. He says, but I don't have charity. That word charity there in the Greek is the Greek word agape. For some reason, the translators, some places translated it love, some places translated it charity, but it's all the same word agape, which is means love or the God kind of love. So we're going to just interchange that word, charity, for love, and you can look that up in your concordance and see that that's the truth. He says, if I don't have love, even though I can speak with the tongues of men and angels, he says, I've become as sounding a brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, when you think of a band, and you think if just a drummer on his own just tinking the cymbal, it's not very great. There's so much more you can do on that drum set, so much more the whole band. But that's what he says, it sounds just tink, 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 tink. In verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, that's spiritual stuff, and have all knowledge. And now look at this. And though I have all faith, see that there? So that I could remove mountains. Isn't that the kind of faith we want? That's what faith does. It removes mountains. So if you have faith, you have mountain-moving faith, just so you know. He says, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Well, that sounds like, yeah, I have a generator. Yeah, but you don't have any fuel, so that generator's nothing. Yeah, that generator has the ability to power everything in that home, but because there's no fuel, it's nothing. It's like just a worthless piece of equipment just sitting there taking up space. And that's what he's saying. I have faith, I can remove mountains, but if I don't have love, it's not going to work. I'm nothing. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Look what he's saying. He's saying even sowing and reaping won't work if you're out of love. Why? Because you're sowing and reaping, even giving, and whatever you give financially or give of your time, it takes faith behind that. Well, there's no faith working if there's no love. Now, look at what he says in verse 8. And now you can see how it's connected to faith and why faith and love are go together. He says, charity or love never fails. Love never fails. You know what the cure to humanity's sicknesses? I'm talking nastiness, division, strife, backbiting. I mean, the day and age we live in, it's a nasty, nasty world. Some of the things you hear about, reports, what people do to other human beings, how people are against one another, how people are in division and strife. Love, the God kind of love, is the great cure. Why? It never fails. You know what else never fails? Faith never fails. Faith never fails. Remember what he said in Mark 11, 23? He said, if you speak to the mountain, talking about faith, don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things you say. He said, the mountain will move. He said in Mark 11, 24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. What's he saying? If you have faith, he said, you shall have them. Why? Faith never fails because it's powered by the source that never fails as well. Love never fails. So the Apostle Paul, with all the accolades and credentials that he has, is telling you, everything you do better be laced with love. You're worthless and nothing, and your faith won't work if it's not based in love. Do you see that there? Now go with me to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. So now what we're seeing is that love powers our faith, but now we're also seeing that without faith, without love, we're nothing. Well, what I'm hoping that's done for you so far is wake you up to realize love is not optional. It's not okay for me if I want my family to be okay, my finances to be okay, my body to be okay, my life to be okay, and running smoothly with the promises of God. It's not okay to not be in love, to walk in love. Amen? Amen. And we're going to teach you how to do that and show you those things. But 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says this. Examine yourselves. Oh, a lot of times we like to examine everybody else. It's true. He says, no, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you except you be reprobates. But I want to bring that up in the Amplified. I'm going to read it. Jenny, you can pull that up if you can get to it. But listen to what he says in the Amplified. Examine. I'll wait till it gets up there. Here we go. Thank you. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith, not my faith. Right. My faith can't get it done for you, but your faith can. Not your spouse's faith, not your boss's faith, not your friend's faith, your faith. It's your own personal thing. It says, whether or not you're holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it, test and prove yourselves. Do you not realize thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are counterfeits, disapproved, on trial, rejected? But notice what he says. Examine yourselves. Am I holding to my faith? Am I in faith? Thank you, Jenny. You can go back to the other version. Now, look at what he's saying. He's saying, examine yourselves if you're in faith. Well, now we've learned something about our faith. If we're not walking in love, I don't care how much you're confessing. I don't care how much you know God can do it. I don't care how much you even think that it's going to happen for you. If you don't have love and are not walking in this God kind of love, you don't have or are not operating in faith. It's the truth. The generator will not run unless you put the proper fuel in it. Hallelujah. It's the truth, praise God. Now, this is what I want to mention to you here. The Lord gave me this example. When you take a road trip, flying somewhere. I mean road trip, like get in your vehicle and going somewhere and you're driving far. And if you have a budget, you know, there's a couple things you got to consider. One of the things in the budget is you better consider the fuel costs. Yeah. Right? To go and not consider the fuel costs, you might run out of money. If you had a budget or set amount of money that you had to spend. But also when you're on a road trip, I hope that you pay attention to your gas gauge. You don't just ignore the gas gauge or put some black tape over it so you can't see it. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have to look at that. What's going to happen? You're going to run out of gas. And you're not going to get to your destination. No, that's silly. You always consider and examine what is the fuel. What kind of fuel needs to go in, and how much fuel do I have? I need to make sure the car has or the truck has fuel. You wouldn't even think about it otherwise. It's just second nature, right? You glance down at it. You see that's getting low. Okay, you go and fill up. Why? I can't run the car without the proper fuel. So you're examining that all throughout that trip. Always keeping an eye on it. Always being aware of what the gas gauge is saying. Well, think about this. When you learn that God can heal you and that God wants to heal you and that faith can do it or things with your children, your finances, whatever you're believing for that faith can bring you. That's like starting out on a journey. The journey where? You're in a certain location now, but you want to end up at your destination, right? You want to end up at that place that you're going, that will bring blessing to you. And so here we are. It's just like getting in a car. To get to that journey, you better examine the fuel. And I'm going to say it this way to put it to you even in a more level where you're at right now. Right now, the faith journey you're in, maybe you're believing God for your healing. Maybe you're believing God for changes in your family. Maybe you're believing God for changes in your life. I'm here to tell you, have you examined your fuel tank of faith? Have you checked the gauge to see, am I running on empty here and expecting to get to where I'm going? You wouldn't expect the car to go and get to where it's going if the tank is on empty. You wouldn't expect that. Have you examined yourselves? What's my love walk like? We're going to talk about love in a second here, what it looks like and different things. But have you examined yourself? Because you're fooling yourself. I've had people sit across from me, tell me that faith doesn't work, and all I hear out of their mouth is bashing other people. I say, it's not your faith that doesn't work. You just have not filled up. You don't have anything fueling that faith. Faith always works because faith is powered by God. Faith always works. And so I would ask you, oh, yeah, I'm believing for great things for my kids. How you treating your spouse? Oh, yeah, I'm believing for great changes in my body. Oh, yeah, how many people do you talk behind their back? Come on, bring it. What grudges are you holding? Come on. Your fuel tank's empty. I'm sorry. You can confess it and think it all you want, but you're not going anywhere. That's right. Hallelujah. Faith is powered by love. Now, we need to know then, how many of you know with a generator, you know, you don't just... put anything in there. Well, Kool-Aid's a liquid. We'll just dump that in that generator and put it in there. Or milk's a liquid, or we'll just throw some diesel in one that's not supposed to be diesel, or vice versa. No, you don't just throw any fuel. You don't just throw any fuel in your gas tank. In fact, it'll mess it up if you just throw anything in there. Wow, look, it gas runs. Water runs. Let's just throw water in the gas. It won't work. You don't do that. It's foolishness. Well, it's the same thing. If the fuel of faith is love, we better know what kind of fuel to put in there. Because in the Bible, there's many different words for the word love and many different meanings. But he said there's one. Galatians 5 and verse 6 says that faith is powered by the agape version of fuel. Amen. Not the phileo. There's different ones there that talk about the human emotion, the love between a friend, different things like that. No, we're talking about the divine love of God, the agape love. He said that's the kind of love that powers your faith. Well, how do we know what that kind of love is? I often say this at weddings. If I were to poll the audience, you know, of what does love look like? You get many different answers. Well, we're not interested in what your version of love is. We're not interested in our own version of love. You know, remember when I was went in the Marines and graduated there and was on the rifle range, and I remember going there, and there was a lot of people. By that point, I still don't understand how it was about the eighth or ninth week, you know, you go onto the rifle range, and I still think, how are some of these people not learning that the best way to get through this thing and to be is to be unnoticed and to keep your stinking mouth shut? Yeah, I had to learn the hard way one time, you know. And they get out on the rifle range, and they tell you specifically how to hold the gun. They tell you specifically how to pull the trigger. They tell you specifically what to do with your breathing. They tell you how to sit and how different positions to hold it in your hands and where things go. And there's people on there, they come in, well, I've hunted my whole life. Well, I've shot guns my whole life. I'm going to do it this way. I'm here to tell you the Marines and the drill instructors do not give a rip how you think you ought to hold that weapon. They don't care. And it doesn't matter what you think love is. Because you can think that water will work in your gas tank, but you're thinking wrong. And you can think that I could put Kool-Aid in the generator, but you're wrong. You can think that in a diesel you could put regular unleaded in there, and you're wrong. It doesn't matter. You could say, well, I think that love is this. Well, you better make sure that it's certified by God. Hallelujah. And in John chapter 13 and verse 34, thank God he gives us the definition. Now again, what are we doing? We're examining ourselves. Why? We're on a faith journey. I know for myself and meditating on this, wow, there's places I need to get to. Ooh, I better check up on that situation. Things that come out of your mouth, nastiness, backbiting, talking behind people's back, grudges, unforgiveness, all that fun stuff. John 13, 34, Jesus said this, a new commandment. I love that he commanded it. You know, Jesus in his silliness just thought that if he used the word commandment that people would do it. And I'm being sarcastic when I say that. We ought to do what he says. We're living in a day and age where it's optional. It is, it's optional. Some people do the word, some people don't do the word. But he said, I'm commanding you. Well, a lot of things he said, he didn't start it with, I'm commanding you. Even though we ought to do what he says, he made sure to put some emphasis on this. He says, I'm giving you a commandment that you love, that's that word agape again, the God kind of love, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I love that he commanded it. Why? Jesus was what? The visible representation of God. Did what God said, did what God wanted him to do. Jesus was God on the earth. God, ladies and gentlemen, is pro you. What do I mean? He loves you so much. He wants you to succeed on this earth. Well, he knows the force that you need on this earth is what? Faith. And he also knows that there's certain fuel that goes into the faith tank, and it's called love. And so he says, you know what? I'm going to emphasize this because I love my creation so much, I'm going to emphasize something they cannot live without by putting a commandment on it. And just in my silliness, being God, thinking they'll do what I say. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. He's saying, love is the commandment. But here we go to find out, because there's many different versions of love. He tells us exactly the version to have. That you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is saying, you want to know what kind of fuel to put in your tank? The kind of love that I loved with. Amen. Hallelujah. The kind of love that I loved with. Well, stop and think about this now, because this is the love that you're supposed to love with and live in if you want your faith to be powered. But water's cheaper. Go ahead, put it in your car. You ain't going nowhere. But it's a lot easier just to be mad at the person. Go ahead. You're not going anywhere. It's a lot easier to join in the crowd and talk behind people's back and to disparage different people. And it's just a lot easier. You can do that. Go ahead, put that in your tank. You won't go anywhere. Come on now. We love faith, but you can't leave this out. He says that I have loved you. Well, how did Jesus love? Think about how Jesus loved. Completely selfless. Completely sacrificial. You never saw Jesus talking behind people's back. In fact, you never saw Jesus being nasty. You never saw Jesus holding grudges. Remember the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? Laying before him and everybody's about to cast stones at her. And Jesus said, you that was out sin, cast the first stone. And the rocks dropped one by one and they left. And she's there in all in her sin right in front of him. And she says, you don't condemn me? And she says, no. I'm not. They didn't condemn me and neither am I. And what did he say to her? You worthless, how could you do this? You're so terrible. Your life's going to be... No, all he said to her is, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He was so kind to her. So compassionate to someone that was wrong. So compassionate to someone that violated his word. So compassionate. So sweet. What did Jesus say on the cross to the very people that were spitting on him, insulting him, cussing him out, that had nailed him to that tree, jammed a crown of thorns on his head, beat him silly, made fun of him. What was Jesus' response? Father, forgive them. Well, what's our response to the people we don't naturally get along with that aren't our cup of tea or that even wrong us? Let's be honest. The thoughts we take about them, the words we say about them, the actions we go out of our way to make their life harder, more difficult. And that stuff's easy to do on the flesh because love will violate your flesh. Love will violate your mind. Your mind will not want to walk in love and your flesh will not want to walk in love. And so there has to be a violation that goes on. And it's not fun to feel violated. And your flesh doesn't like being violated and your mind doesn't like being violated. But how much easier is it just to join in and talk bad, take wrong thoughts, lay there and think of things you wish would happen to them or, be nasty to them. It's so easy to do that. Forgiveness naturally is a hard thing for a lot of people. Right? And so because it's hard, their flesh continue to hold that grudge. Continue to think about that person in the wrong way. But that's not what your Savior did. Love's not selfish, in your marriage. Always about you and making sure. I mean, that stuff's gross. That stuff is so, just disgusting, where all you think about is you and promoting you and getting your way. It's like the couple that I met with years ago, and this is how the meeting ended. I slammed my hand on the table. I said, be quiet. So this is the biggest waste of time I've ever had. Please leave my office. All they did was bicker back and forth, and one of the main things, remember, the wife loved football. She loved football, and she said, my problem is my husband won't watch football with me. I mean, my God. I mean, did that man not know how good he had it? She's promoting football. But the point was, he thought it was stupid and silly, and regardless of your feeling on it, she liked it. It was important to her. Hallelujah. It was important to her. But selfishness. I'm not going to sit down and watch a football game because I think it's stupid. Oh, that's dumping the wrong thing in your tank. Well, I don't want to go to that place, even though I know you'd love it. And like, I don't want to go there because of how I feel. Oh, you selfish thing, you. Walking out of love. Doesn't the Bible say love is not self-serving? Go to the wedding scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Oh, impatience is not love. Yeah. Love is kind. Who's getting married here today? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. Love does not promote its own. All those things that love is, that Jesus was the picture of, those things need to be in our life or we don't have faith that works. Yeah. Sorry to tell you, it's just the way it is. I know, when you're hurting for money and you need to get somewhere, boy, water would be a lot easier to put in that tank, a lot cheaper and a lot more convenient, wouldn't it? Just go to the faucet, fill up a pitcher and dump it in. We can go anywhere we want. But that's just not, I got to tell you, if you start out driving, don't put that in there. I don't care how convenient and easy it is. Don't put that in there. Hallelujah. Go with me to Matthew 5 and verse 43. You better examine yourself before this journey. Don't cover up the gas gauge there. Matthew 5, 43, you might be on the side of the road somewhere, needing a tow. That's what your pastor has to do a lot of times, come through and tow down the broken down ones. Because they didn't walk in love and their faith didn't work. And now they're crashed on the side of the road. Pastor's got to come in and pick them up and bring them to where they need to go. Yeah. Matthew 5:43. Look what Jesus said. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you. Now here's love in action. Ready? Love your enemies. Ooh. That's that word agape again. Yeah. What's that mean? Jesus kind of love. What's that mean? Unconditional. Selfless, sacrificing. Listen to the group of people here that he's telling you to love. Love your enemies, and of course love has actions with it, and the rest of the verse is the actions of it. Talking about enemies. Bless them that curse you. Wow. What's that look like? Well, not returning the bird for the bird when you're getting cut off in traffic. It's not... bird for bird here. No, we're not going bird for bird here. someone, you know, road rage, curses at you or at work or something, what does blessing look like? Walking away. Father, they must be going through something. I pray whatever they're going through, Father, bless them. Do something nice for them. Oh, I know that's not what we like to do, but that's what the Bible says to do. Bless them. When's the last time you loved your enemies and blessed somebody that was nasty to you? Or did you go the world's way and think bad about them or talk about, go expose what they've done to you? Do you know what so-and-so said to me and how they treated me? Oh, water in the gas tank. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? To join in. So easy. It's so easy to put the water in the gas tank. So convenient. Praise God. Do good to them that hate you. What? This is what Jesus is saying love is. And pray for them, which despitefully use you and persecute. You know why you pray for them? Because people that are acting like that, they're motivated by the wrong spirit. And you've been motivated by the wrong spirit before. And I'm here to tell you, if you have grudges and unforgiveness and they're talking behind people's back, you are motivated by the wrong spirit. And you yourself need prayer. But that's what the Bible said. When the people that are nasty to you, you be kind to them. What does it say in verse 45? That you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward is there? Do not even the publicans do the same? Well, notice this, and there's more to it, but one of the greatest rewards of doing this is what? Your gas tank's full. What reward do you have? The reward that your stinking faith works. Yeah. He's saying there's a reward for walking in this kind of love. And one of the greatest rewards is your faith will actually work. Praise the Lord. Go with me to Ephesians 4. We're almost done. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Just mentioning different things about love. Ephesians 4, 29. Better examine yourselves. Well, we're all raring to go with our faith journey. Okay, we learned all things are possible. I can get to my healing. I can get to my prosperity. I can have change in my family, my kids. Yeah, but to go on that journey, you better make sure your love tank is full. Your faith's going nowhere, and you're just, yeah, that's good, because Paul said this. He said, even though I can speak of tongues of men and angels. Well, he's talking about having authority, faith words coming out of your mouth. But he says, if you don't have love, it's a tinkling cymbal. That's what you sound like, confessing for your healing, and you don't have love. It's empty. That's what a tinkling cymbal is. It's empty. When the whole drum sets, it's something full about that. You know, a drummer does a drum solo, he just doesn't go, tink, 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 tink. No, he's getting into it. He's all over the place, and it's sounding great, right? It's full. It sounds great. And here you are confessing, my healing's coming. Money's coming to me. My kids are this and that. It's empty words with no love. Just empty. It's going nowhere. Praise God. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Look at this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How many of you know your thoughts and actions can be loving or unloving, but a lot of things come down to this. Yeah. Yeah. Let's be honest. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Wow, is that going to shut a lot of you up this week? Because some of you are going to go, we're planning to go right into work tomorrow and talk bad about your spouse, talk bad about this person, that person, talk bad about your boss, join in. And he said the only thing that ought to come out of a Christian's mouth are things that are edifying, that will build somebody up. Yeah. Oh, we have a lot of work to do, me included, don't we? He says, no corrupt communication, only that which edifies and builds people up. That would never be talking behind someone's back. That would never be insulting somebody. Would it? No. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, on that which is edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. You know when corrupt communication comes out of your mouth? Backbiting, grudges, talking behind people's back, unforgiveness, nasty words, insults. You are grieving. Grieving. Now, when somebody loses a loved one, there's a grieving process. It's not a process we all say, yes, sign me up for that. I want to grieve. Why? It's not a fun process. It's not a naturally exciting process. That's what you're doing to the Holy Ghost. You're giving him those kind of grief feelings. When you open your mouth and talk with corrupt communication out of your mouth, that doesn't edify. Let all bitterness, 31, there it is, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here we go, verse 32. And be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. What's that? That's merciful. That's patient. That's understanding, right? Bible talks about that we are to make allowances or forbear one another. You know what a forbearance is? I've had forbearances on my student loan. What's that mean? I owe something, but the forbearances make it so I don't have to pay what I owe. Bible says we're to forbear one another. What's that mean? When they do something, the wrong you or go against you, and naturally, and what the world would say would be payment for them would be what? Would be lashing back, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a bird for a bird. I added that in that verse. Right? And he's saying, forbear, what's that mean? You make an allowance. Now, I'm not going to make them pay for what they did. What's your reward? Your faith will work. Or you could just feel good in your flesh and have your faith not work. It's up to you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sakes, look at this, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sakes forgiven you. Look what your response is to those that wrong you. One response, forgive them. That's it. Now, don't mix up forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness has nothing to do with trust. But you have to forgive. Amen? Trust is earned. I don't have to trust you. I have to forgive you, though. What's that mean? I let it go. But then look what he says in chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, remember, the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. Men did this. So this is a continuation of Paul's thought. He says, be ye therefore. So he's talking about what's therefore. What was there before? All the things we just said. Followers or imitators, that word is of God as dear children. He said, that's how God acted. Isn't that how God acted towards you? Isn't that God, how he still continues to act towards you? When you mess up and screw up, God's not giving you the stiff arm and straight arm and pushing you away and holding it over you and being mean to you and talking bad about you and insulting you and hurting you and making you pay for that. No, what's he doing? Forgiving you. Loving you, being kind to you. Be followers of God's dear children and walk in love. Verse 2. As Christ also has loved us and given himself, look at this, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Praise God. Romans 5:5, we'll close with this scripture. Romans 5 and verse 5. Jesus showed us on the cross what this love could do. I mean, here he was with the power hanging there, hurting in his body, hurting emotionally, hurting in his mind, bleeding, bloodied, beaten to a pulp. Naturally, he had the power to take himself off the cross, or spiritually. The Bible says he could have called the angels, had the power to do it. See, that's the beauty of the cross. God didn't make Jesus do it. And the devil didn't have the power to make Jesus do it. Jesus said what? I lay my life down. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it back. When he's on the cross, he has the power to stop that. You know that, right? When they're beating him and he's taking it and they're nailing him to the tree and he's suffering and crying out, you do know he had the power to stop the whole thing. Praise God. And so, imagine the natural feeling that Jesus would have had because he was all man too. He hungered, he thirsted, he cried, he slept. When people are doing that to you and you're doing something for them they don't even know, and you have the power to stop it and to bring ill will onto them, and you stay there and all you say is, Father, forgive them. What is that? Love in action. And you say to yourself, there's no way. No way I can be that way. My boss is this way. My spouse is this way. My this happened to me. Someone did this to me. My family member did this to me. I can't do this. Yes, you can. It's a lie of the devil that says you can't. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God, not the love of people, not the love of natural things, the love of God, the agape of God, that love of God came out in Jesus. He demonstrated it. By what? Blessing them that persecuted him. Praying for them that despitefully used him. What? Doing good to his enemies. loving those people that were against him. And that's what you're called to do. And you can do it. Why? Because the Bible says, hope maketh not ashamed. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me. Guess what's in you? Whether or not it comes out of you, that's a different story. You have the love of God in you. That thing that's been dogging you, that grudge, that thing, that getting involved in those things, you have the ability to stop that if you let love dominate. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to renew my mind to the word that it's not optional. I'm going to examine myself and look, okay, you know, the way I've been talking about that person, the way I've been treating my spouse, you know, the way I've been towards my boss, the way I've been towards a fellow Christian, the way the thoughts that I've had, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, I got to get rid of that stuff. My gas tank's not where it needs to be. Praise God. Let me tell you something. If you need to get to California and you get ready to start your journey and your gas tank's a quarter full, I'm going to get there on that. No, you're going to end up being on the side of the road. You need love to take you all the way. You need that gas to take you all the way to the destination. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not optional. Hallelujah, let's just close our eyes right now and let's examine ourselves. Let's examine ourselves and let's make it right. Let's make it right and just, let's make it right, praise God. Justin, go ahead and put, there's something about that name on there right now. This is important. The song we use for communion. And just examine yourself. And when the music's playing, just undo your breath. Repent for that. Make a decision this morning to be different. To go forward different, praise God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Just get it right. Get it right. And the one thing I want to stress to you, as you're making this right, it's not feeling based. There was nothing that Jesus made Jesus feel like doing that. You have to understand the God kind of love is not feeling based. Your feelings will never feel like loving and blessing and praying and doing good to the ones that are wrong to you. Go ahead and turn that up just a little bit. I'm going to turn my microphone off so I can make some things right in my own life. This morning. Thank you for mercy. We praise you and bless you, Jesus. We honor you and glorify you. Thank you so much for being the ultimate example. Father, you're not trying to make our lives harder. You're trying to make our lives better. I know these things. Our mind will fight them. Our flesh will fight them. Our flesh will want to go the way of the world and the way of the devil. But Father, it's worth the battle. It's worth putting our flesh under our mind, and it's worth making the change. There's so much that rides on making sure that we have love in our faith fuel tank. So, Father, thank you for our help this morning. Thank you for correction. Thank you for heart changes here this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. What's the first thing he tries to do? Steal. He's always trying to steal things. Steal your joy, steal your peace. But one thing he's trying to steal is your love walk. You have to understand that the devil has soldiers working for him. They're called demons. And you know that angels can influence, but so can demons influence. And the devil will send people to get in your way and to cause stumbling blocks and different things to get you offended, to get you mad, to get you angry, to get you out of love. You have to recognize that he's going to try to steal your love walk that way. And that when these things arise up, they're no more than just tests that you need to pass to keep your faith full. All of a sudden, somebody starts acting a certain way to you. All of a sudden, people start doing this. This starts coming up. Extra chatter around the water cooler and talking about the boss. All these opportunities to walk out of love. They're just tests. They're just tests. The devil's influencing and motivating and working and putting things in your way. Why? To get you out of love. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for showing me that. We expose you, devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Now, Father, your greatest display of love ever was by giving your son Jesus. And Jesus, you paid the price for us, not because you were forced. The Romans didn't kill you. The Jews didn't kill you. The devil didn't kill you. You laid your life down for us. Thank you, Jesus. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus. He said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. But notice he said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's many different ideas and thoughts concerning how to get to heaven. You know, is it being a good person? Is it my church attendance? Is it being generous and charitable? You know, those things are good, going to church and being a good person and being charitable, but they can't get you into heaven. But same token, not going to church and not being a good person and not being charitable can't keep you out either. Jesus gave us the outline in the Word concerning how to be saved. It doesn't matter, just like it doesn't matter what how you think you can shoot. It doesn't matter what you think love is. It matters what God thinks. It doesn't matter what you think how to get to heaven. It matters what God thinks. And Jesus told us through the Word, through the Apostle Paul, in Romans 10:9, he says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's it. Nothing about church attendance, nothing about good person, bad person, nothing about charitable giving or lack thereof. All about what you do with Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning or watching by live stream, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. What do I mean? You've never officially confessed him with your mouth. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. This is between you and God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you want to receive Jesus, if you've never officially done this, I don't care how much church you've been, I don't care how good you are, you got to do what the Bible says. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody before we close this service this morning, you want to receive Jesus in your heart? Just lift your hand high in the air if that's you. Nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you or anything. But is there anybody you could say, I'm not certain that I'd go to heaven? Just lift your hands high in the air. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Praise God. I'm excited for you. He loves you so much. This is a new beginning for you. Anybody else that wants to receive Jesus before we close the service this morning? Again, we're not going to embarrass you. Well, Father, we had one hand in the building, and of course there may be other people that maybe were shy or didn't raise their hand, or if people on live stream, I can't see if they'd raise their hand, but thank God it's not raising the hand or lack thereof that gets us saved or unsaved. It's what we do with Jesus. So that person that raised their hand, and as well as everybody else in here that may need to pray this, or if you're watching online, you need to pray this, we're going to go through what the Bible says of believing. We're going to officially ask Jesus into our heart, and you're not going to be the only voice, so don't worry about that. I'm going to ask everybody to pray with that person. But that person that raised their hand and the people that maybe should have or are watching online, pray this after me, because again, it's not thinking it. You got to say it. You got to believe it. And we're just going to pray a simple prayer, and in the context of that prayer is going to be crying out to Jesus, declaring our belief in him and asking him to be a part of our life. So everybody, the person that raised their hand, people that need to raise their hand, those on live stream, everybody else in the church, say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you rose again. And I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, the Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Notice it doesn't say Jesus is the SWAT team and bust that door down. He's waiting for an invitation. He's waiting for someone to receive him. And so for that person that raised your hand, thrilled for you. God's got good things for you. You know, we always like to tell you, you don't need to go to church to go to heaven, because it's just true, you don't. The Bible doesn't say that. But you do need a pastor if you want to walk into and experience all the blessings. The Bible says, without a shepherd, you're scattered and faint. The Bible says, they that plant in the house of God will flourish. And so I'd love to be your pastor, but I'm well aware that not everybody on planet Earth is called to Mike Anderson. And so if you feel called here, that you felt like you received something, that the message spoke to you, that something in your heart saying, this is where I need to be, I encourage you, plant here, get faithful, and watch what God's going to do in your life. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and your mercy. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget, no Wednesday service. There is fellowship over in the old sanctuary. Go through the doors and go to the left. Love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you next Sunday. You are dismissed.